This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 128. Take the 210 to the 57. It's episode 128 of the Geek Dads. I'm Ken Denmead. It has been a horrible night. We have screwed so much up technologically that we're not even going to be nice about the intro. I've got...
Oh, man.
Words go here.
We are just complete morons because we've the technology has completely failed us tonight. And so... We're coming into this having already talked for 15 minutes and lost that. So, everybody, you're catching us mid podcast, as it were. Our apologies, but guys, I thought the first thing that we could talk about this time is there were a lot of interesting reactions to the post the other day about application to marry my daughter or to date. Was it the date? Or Mary.
It was how to
apply to date my daughter.
And I wanted to go around this group because, you know, there's a couple of sides to it. First of all, you know, there was obviously a little bit of tongue-in-cheek to it. You know, I don't know, and obviously we don't have, it was Eric who wrote it, we don't have Eric to really talk to it, whether or not he was real, you know, because of the geeky stuff he put into it, obviously he was having some fun with it. Whether or not he actually ever expects to create such a document in order to test the mettle of potential suitors for his daughter, we don't know exactly. But you know, a lot of people had some very interesting takes on this, high level and low level. So I would like to go around the group here and get your feelings on this and talk about it a little bit, because obviously the concept of, you know, not just you know, an application to date my daughter, but the father's role as, you know, traditional guardian of your daughter's virtue and what a person's, a father's viewpoint is towards whether or not, you know, you have any say, first of all, about who your daughter dates past a certain age or whatever. What, you know, whether your opinion should count for anything probably depends upon your relationship with your daughter in the first place and so forth. I don't know. I have boys, so I'm probably not going to have to worry about that kind of thing to an extent. But, you know, modern versus traditional viewpoints about what, you know, the father's role should be. We're geek dads. We tend to be sort of forward-thinking people, but you know what? These are our daughters. Maybe not so much. So I'm going to throw this out. I think, Jim, because you are probably past this point now.
Oh, yeah.
let's get the...
You've got a 26-year-old
the wisdom of the elder here.
Yeah. Well, I have kind of a special... You really... well, first of all, addressing the piece, I think that my opinion was that Eric was riffing off the 8 simple rules for dating my daughter, one of the, that kind of meme that was going around a few years ago. And this is kind of the geek equivalent of that. So it's clearly tongue in cheek and not serious at all. But having had a church background and knowing a lot of very traditional people, I know people who foolishly believe that they can... control their daughters that way. My parenting theory, or my wife's parenting theory, because she's smarter than I am, if you teach your children self-respect and responsibility by the time they're 7, you really don't have to sweat it when they're 17. My kids have never had a curfew. They just have to tell me where they're going and why. And if they want to stay out late, they know when they're supposed to be home, and they say, I'm going to so-and-so's house for a while. Is that okay? I say, yeah. But my kids are hyper-responsible and super level-headed. My mom would freak out and say, wow, your daughters are so gorgeous. Don't you worry about the boys? I said, no, I don't have to worry about the boys. They have to worry about her. You know, both my daughters are armed, and they're both, you know, my older daughter is an excellent fencer and a pretty good archer, and they're both tough as nails, and they don't take crap from anybody. that part of that's when they were very little and I dropped them at preschool. I never told them to be good. I took a quote from Leave It to Chance by James Robinson and Paul Smith. And when I dropped my kids off, I'd say, don't be good, be right. Be brave, noble, and heroic. Have a good day. And my kids are brave, noble, and heroic and have incredible self-respect and a sense of who they are, and they don't take crap from anybody. So I'm kind of an aberrant case. If I whipped out an application to date my daughter, my girls would laugh in my face. So, you know, there it is. Your mileage may vary. On that, I'll continue one more thing. I have known traditional parents who were, you know, I got to meet the kid before you can go out with him. And the girls in some cases have said, oh, Dad, I'm really glad you do that because I didn't want to go out with that jerk, but I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I get to blame you. So it can be an effective tool if that's your bent. But
right. But of course, in that situation, that means that the way the parents raised the kids, they weren't empowered. They didn't feel empowered to make the decision to say no in the first place.
No, they had to be asked. Aggressive with it. Yeah.
So it's to one extent, it's, you know, different perspectives and different points and goals. But, you know, I love your take on it. I agree with it significantly. I mean, I just have boys, but the point is, raise them to be smart, self-sustaining, and respectful people, and the rest will usually take care of itself, much to your delight.
What we adopted, I learned this, I don't even remember where I picked it up. I think my wife picked it up. But when my oldest daughter was an infant, somebody said, never forget you're not raising children, you're raising adults. And if you adopt that philosophy, excellent, the rest is easy.
Yeah. That's why we never talked baby talk to them, even as infants.
Oh, yeah.
You have conversations with your kids, even when they're little. They're very quickly going to have conversations with you, which is fantastic.
That's it.
All right. Any counterpoints or supports or tangential takes to that, Ryan?
Well, having three daughters now, my conversations aren't quite be respectful, be honest, all that stuff. It's, you know, make sure both your mittens make it into your backpack, keep your socks on, and chew your food before you swallow, right?
And so, they're in their 20s, right?
That's right. No, 8 months, 4.5, and 6. So,
oh, wow.
Months? So how'd you do that? No.
Yeah. Magic. Actually, the review units, I'm actually going to give them back.
If only. So,
right? So, you know, the bit of advice that I was given by, you know, someone that I'd known for years that I worked for, and he had three kids, and he says, you know, you pretty much have got the first 10, 11 years to fill their head with all the good stuff. And after that, you really don't have any control anyway. So be involved, you know, treat them with respect. And, you know, believe it or not, you've got girls, Ryan. And the thing is, it's statistically probable that they're going to end up with someone a lot like their dad, especially if they like their dad. And so, you know, you don't have to be their best friend, give them their boundaries, you know, all of the same stuff that developmentally kids need, especially, up to that age 7, right? My wife does child development psychology therapy stuff. So it's like cheating. I've got the textbook in the house on how to parent to age-appropriate stuff. But, you know, I'll tell you what, it really is, I am going to say this as beta. Work in progress. I have the right within 6 months to change my opinion, let alone 6 years. But for now, the going idea is that, you know, as Jim was saying, treat them like adults, you know, and let them understand that there are consequences for your actions and all of these things. And invariably, they like what dad likes, right? They see me painting little figures, so they want to paint their own. They know that I like superheroes, so they want to learn about superheroes. And so it's up to me to make sure that what they're being exposed to is age appropriate and all that fun stuff, right? I mean, it's the role as an adult. Their little brains can only handle certain things. But, you know, end of day, here's my selfish desire, okay? This goes well beyond Eric's post. But it has the same vein. is that I have three daughters and have no boys, which means I have no one to pass on my mighty empire of geekdom. You know, I don't have someone to inherit the title. I mean, granted, they're girls and they could easily, you know, take that reins. But the stereotypical, you know, here's my Warhammer army, you know. But like my uncles, who also had multiple daughters, they said, Ryan, here's the cool part, is that you get to skip all of the stupid decisions that boys are going to be making when they're younger. And one day you're going to get a son-in-law and you actually are going to have some say over who that person is. Because if you like them, your daughters will like them more. If you don't like them, and make it clear, because it's your job to let them know if you think someone's shady, if you've done your job right, they're going to respect that. Right. So selfishly, I might someday have that son-in-law that likes the same things I do. So I'll put that away in my secret geeky heart of hearts. But until that day comes, work in progress.
I think you're probably more likely because you've got three daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you have a really good mix of chromosomes from yourself and your wife.
Yeah.
At least one of the three will be so like you that she'll want, you know.
She's like, what? You're giving away your Warhammer?
Don't you dare. This is all mine. <That's> fine.
Dibs.
You couldn't strategize your way out of a wet paper bag, Dad. Come on. I'm taking your Warhammer stuff down to the game club, and I'm gonna scam some guys out of there.
Yep,
it'll be good.
So, gamer boys, in a decade from now, beware. I'm just saying, you know, look out.
A decade from now, it's
beware.
Well, and of course, the other thought is that if you've raised them in these manners, mm-hmm. so that they are just self-sufficient, self-aware, good people, respectful, a little bit geeky, so forth, the people they're going to bring home, the boys, mm-hmm. are going to be the right guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're going to make good choices. So
my older daughter's boyfriend is, quite frankly, awesome. He's pretty incredible, and I'm pretty happy that eventually, someday, if he ever gets around to it, he will be my son-in-law.
Hint, hint, hint.
Well,
what's his Twitter handle? We'll give him a shout. No.
You've got to check out this episode.
He's kind of anti-social media in a lot of ways, so he's probably not even on the Skype. My daughter is. I could bring her in, but she'd probably disapprove of that.
Oh, Dad. Jeez. All right. So Matt or Jonathan, daughters who are getting closer and closer. Matt, a little closer to.
Believe me, I know, because she's had family life, education at school, and you know, she's had some of those, you know, developments where I have to say, okay, tell my wife, okay, you deal with that. if you know what I mean. And
way to pass the buck, Dad.
I think that everybody is happier that my handling it.
There are life events to which we are not invited.
Yes, I don't really know how single dads of girls do it, but I have nothing but respect for them.
That's what the
I am. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I kept thinking about as I was reading it is, you know, knowing my daughter, you know, any boy that she's really interested in is going to have the right answers to these anyway, because she's already a geek and she's proud of it. And, you know, she'll sit down and watch Star Wars or Doctor Who or, you know, play a game of Settlers of Catan. She's thrilled with doing all these things, and I don't see that changing.
How cool is it, though, that our daughters can proudly wave the geek flag, you know? I mean, in the where we, you know, the time
well,
that we live
can,
in right I mean, now, you know,
well,
for anything, anything, yeah, anything. They can grow up to be anything they want, right? Astronauts, scientists, you know, the whole STEM thing is within their reach. And so...
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that anybody can be proud to wave the geek flag now. When it was, you know, when I was growing up, you didn't do that unless you wanted to get beaten up after school, generally speaking. You know.
Try it in the 70s.
No, it's yeah. very true. It's very true. We've been through the hard times, so you know they don't necessarily have to go through quite as much. Although you know, I probably to a certain extent, geekdom, nerddom has now settled down into being just another way that kids will torture each other.
Yeah.
In a natural way, it's not as standoutish as almost anything else that can happen. I mean. And you know, often things will go well. I have to tell this one, and there's no names, there's no nothing, but there is a kid in the school where my wife teaches, elementary school, who has self-identified as gay, and he's having a tough time with it, but he's come out and he has support at the school, and it's like, you know, this is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know. I don't know, necessarily think we can, in some respects, it's probably not quite right to equate experiences we had growing up geeks as, you know, similar to or the same as anyone who's been through, problems with homophobia. But, some of the effects, some of the things that are suffered are very similar. And so it is nice to see that the culture is evolving in a positive direction.
No, absolutely. Heck, when the Boy Scouts of America are talking about finally getting rid of the rule.
Yeah, but I almost think that's more of a PR move. It smacks of desperation. Of you know what, we can't. It's not necessarily that the people that are in control are making the right decision. It's they're making the decision that gets the problem off their backs.
Well, but that's fine with me. I mean, whether or not they actually believe it, the fact that they feel the pressure to make that decision is fantastic.
Absolutely,
I feel fine with that. That society has progressed to the point where that's the decision they're being pressured to make.
That's very true. That's very true. I just, you know, if only the hearts and minds were there as well. But
well that's a political thing.
That's true. Well, you should try to be careful about politics on this. But
well, and when you know where the Boy Scouts get their funding and who is the tail that wags the dog, it makes a lot more sense. But the truth, my son is an Eagle Scout, and at the troop level, you'd be really hard pressed to find more than a handful of scout leaders who are really overtly anti-gay. And they're mostly tied into troops that are chartered by extreme religious organizations who hold that view. But most Boy Scout troops, they don't care. They really don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a couple of kids in my son's troop who were, you know, just as gay as you want to be, and everybody knew it, and everybody was fine with it. So it's really pressure from where their money comes from, their funding, that drives a lot of that.
And the local culture.
Yeah. But they're at a point now where the culture has shifted enough that they can stand up to those people and say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Which is a great thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Especially the rash of Eagle Scout retirements or givebacks has been that's just phenomenal.
They depend heavily on Eagle Scouts and former Scouts continuing to support them.
Right.
So it was that was a big thing.
So like my college keeps asking for money.
I was just going to say, it's just like the phone calls I get. Hey, I'm still making payments. Yeah,
my high school, my college, they keep calling, asking mm-hmm. for money. It's like, I still got to put two boys through college. Give me a break.
Have they considered your school of choice? No, I don't know. Can't answer that question.
I'm so
fabulous. All right. Well, because we are a little bit cut short because of our technical difficulties, I will go around. Are there any posts of the week or anything that people want to tease that are coming up soon? Mr. Blum, how about you?
I got a couple things in the works, but my work schedule's been so flaky recently that I don't want to. I don't know exactly when I'll actually get them done.
They have been working you to the bone, have they not, sir?
Somewhat, yeah.
Who do we complain to? Obviously, your day job is getting in the way of what's important in life, and as it does with all of us. So,
sadly.
All right, Mr. Liu. Other than preparing for imminent tripe eternity.
Yeah, well, before that, you know, this weekend, I'll remind you, is the Run Free.
Yes. Race.
The Run Free. Great. You know, you should everyone should go, you know, participate.
Where's that sponsor thing?
Photos. Oh, here. Geek Dad is the proud sponsor of Mile 3.14.
I love that. That is so.
They asked me
cool.
which mile you know we wanted to sponsor, and I said, well, is pie taken yet? so they said, we love that. We'll do that. So I need to go, you know, find a spot to go put up this sign and
now what time is it happening? When and what time is it happening?
It is, let me see here. Actually, you know, I believe they're sending that more information. Yeah, they're emailing it out, but it is on Saturday. I don't know what time the race starts yet exactly. I don't have my packet with me right here in front of me.
I'm hoping that because by its very nature, it's not a terribly active race. I'm hoping that it's happening later in the day because I'm going to be either heading to the airport or on a plane back from Houston, and I want...
Yeah. You'll just have to post your post race photos.
Is it on Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. It's on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say Sunday. It's got to conflict with the Super Bowl. So,
yeah.
They'd never hold even a virtual marathon against the Super Bowl.
Against the Super Bowl. Yeah. So yeah, we're doing that, and in March, I'm actually be able to go to PAX East this year. Because, which will be fun.
That'd be awesome since they've actually given us 2 hours for the panel this time.
Ooh, nice.
Holy cat.
I didn't ask. They just did it.
they said, you guys give away too much stuff. Have another hour. Well, I will be there because I'm going to be, you know, if everything works out well, I'm going to be there with Game Salute promoting my Kickstarter for my board game.
Ooh,
nice.
But more about that later.
Jonathan's long in development board game. I cannot wait.
This one is not that one. It's a different one.
It's a different one. Wow.
Yes.
Development board game.
It must be a great idea.
This is the Emperor's new board game, right? This is the Emperor's new board game thing, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're working on that. So I'm looking for so that's all, you know, trying to get that done prior to baby number 3, and then I'll vanish for a while, and you won't see me at all.
Ryan, how good are you at copy edit?
you know,
Jim's an artist. I'm not even
there. You know.
I think between the two of us, Ken, we'll manage. We'll just have to be a little more diligent. That's
exactly.
All.
Make my day job go away. I can do it.
You can make my day job go away. I could do it too, but that never happened.
I was going to mention as a post of the week, though. I thought the other story that came up 2 weeks ago was the Jonathan Colton Glee.
Oh my goodness!
which was, you know, I don't know that we need to get into that now, but very interesting. So
other than to vent again, you know, it's very interesting. Yeah, we're going to go for 5 minutes on this.
Go there.
So, well, you know, what's interesting, I actually got into a little bit of a Twitter argument with someone who you know, totally supports Jonathan and went ahead and bought his re-release of Baby Got Back, the protest release.
His cover of Glee's cover.
Right.
Which was the same as his original, yes.
Right. All of the proceeds of which are going to charity, and... last time I looked, which was a day ago, it might be better now, it was like almost in the top 100 on iTunes. with something like 2,500 5-star reviews. So
it's 1-star reviews to the Glee version?
Yeah, I'd probably. So this argument I had, this person asked the not quite rhetorical questions, how is what Fox did or what Glee did any different than what Mega Upload did? And so they were trying to trying to draw an equivalency between selling ads against pirated, you know, selling ads against people trading music for free, thereby making, quote, making money off of pirated material, versus what Glee did, which was to copy someone's original derivative work, even though legally he can't sell it, copy someone's original derivative work and present it and sell it without without reference.
Credit. Without any sort of credit. I mean, I would say, you know, if you want to claim they're both making money off some sort of piracy, that's the only analogy there, right?
Right, but at least
Mega Upload is not claiming to have made any of that.
Right. Right, exactly.
Right, they're not claiming that, well, we wrote all these songs or we produced all of these. Whereas Glee was passing it off as, you know, our creation. Right.
Specifically selling the song for 99 cents a download plus or $1.59 for the ringtone version. And saying it's theirs.
Well, and Jonathan Coulton's melody is entirely original. He wrote that. It's not a derivative work. He does have some copyright interest in there. If he were to say release an instrumental version and copyright it separately from maybe a back.
You have to love their chutzpah. You really have to love their chutzpah, though, and not even changing where he says Johnny C. I mean, how hard would it have been to change that? Really?
Whoever was arranging it listened to his, loved it, assumed it was part of the original lyrics, and left it in.
Well, could they really have, like, not known that it was Sir Mix? I mean,
yes.
I suppose. I don't know how anybody involved in Glee, you know, about music to not know that it was Sir Mix-a-Lot, you know, but originally. I don't know. I have to think that they just were just too lazy to bother putting something else in besides Johnny C. Right.
And on top of that, all the question about whether or not some of the backing tracks were actually Jonathan's backing tracks, which would open up whole new worlds of potential problems.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they are, honestly. I listened to it a couple of times, and I don't know. I could definitely, I can see where you might think they could be, but it's not close enough to say, oh, that definitely is.
Yeah, I forget whether it was actually Paul and Storm who did it or whatever, put the two up right next, you know, used that system where you could put them next to each other, the two YouTube versions. And literally, they melded right into each other. The plucking of the banjos were spot on, exactly the same. Which strikes me, and I've not listened to. My understanding is that Jonathan put out a karaoke version of the song.
He did.
So, such that that would be, you know, infinitely simple to take it. And in theory, you know, they might mess with the levels and you know, a little modulation or whatever. But anyway, yes.
I saw a post on one of the forums where some sound guy was talking about comparing the waveforms of the two tracks, and he was of the opinion it was the karaoke track.
Right.
So I'm not a sound engineer, but I did work for a music company for 5 years and know a little bit about the stuff. And I would say, they probably just lifted the karaoke track.
Now here's my icing on the cake question. All right, how much of our, you know, this being, I hate getting into politics, so forth. So I want to be careful here. But how much of the anger that has erupted over this has been against Glee or against Fox?
Mostly against Glee, I think.
Well, I mean, has anybody felt it really easy to be angry at them because they're on Fox?
I haven't heard that at all.
No, okay. I haven't heard that either.
Some people conflate the two, and you know, Glee is Fox's, you know, the
I know Fox shows it, but they're not the ones who actually make the show, are they?
I'm not sure how it works because, the funny thing is, the reason why I asked that question is so much of what I've followed on this has been via the hashtag Backgate on Twitter. And Glee's official Twitter handle is Glee on Fox.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's very tightly melded there.
Of course, they couldn't get just Glee, but yeah.
Right. Anyway. All right, we did a good 5 minutes on that tangent. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right, let's get out of the sink. Ryan, you got anything cool coming up? You're airbrushing miniatures. You're putting together kits. What do you got going on, man?
Yeah, so the McVeigh Studios did a big Kickstarter. It was one of those, you know, success stories. You know, we needed $30,000 to do some tooling, and they got over $900,000. Mm-hmm. So it went from a, like, entry-level package to the actual basic starter set comes with a bunch of different alternate poses. The quality of the models is really kicked it up. A lot of the tokens are a lot like the Fantasy Flight game stuff. So I'm really looking forward to getting 3-4 games under my belt and writing up that review. There's another piece that I'm doing. My wife and I are currently trying to find ways of being healthy while still managing 3 young children, which keeps us incredibly busy. So we're looking to all of the different gadgets, gizmos, apps, and tech that we can utilize to help cheat the system, to make it easier to count calories, to track our sleeping, to, you know, all this stuff. So we're putting a master plan together for parents on the go and, what kind of hacks there are to stay healthy.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Hey, Jim, you got anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Boy, I've got a, I'm just looking at the whiteboard here where I've got a dozen things listed, and the one that's probably the closest, I'll probably do a quick, short thing. Thursday is National Gorilla Suit Day, and I always celebrate that, so I have to do a plug for that.
I have not heard of that one.
Don Martin created it back in the 60s in one of his checkbooks.
Rowan and Martin?
No, Don Martin from Mad Magazine.
There we go. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
When Don Martin bounces back or Don Martin forges ahead or one of those books, I don't know which one, I can't remember. He did a story about National Gorilla Suit Day, which is always January 31st. Unfortunately, his widow has for some reason taken into her head to try and stop people from celebrating it. Because it's his and nobody else should touch it. But I'm going to write about it anyway. So I'll do something on that. And then I'm writing a review of a book that a friend of mine wrote called Bull Spotting, Finding Facts in the Age of Misinformation. You would think that with the internet we would all be better informed, and but we're better misinformed. And so he's written a book. My friend Lauren Collins is an attorney from Georgia, who ran for Congress as a bull moose, and I designed his logo. I've known him for years. Nice guy. He runs a website called Barackrafal. This is a conservative libertarian attorney who didn't vote for Barack Obama, but he put up a website refuting all of the birther claims, proving, you know, that the whole Obama was born Kenya thing. And he's just thoroughly demolished every argument that's made for against Obama's legitimacy as president, factually, and that grew into this book about how to recognize baloney when you hear it, how to not get taken in by internet memes and hoaxes and misattributed quotations and pseudoscience and pseudo-law. And it's a fascinating book. Great primer on critical thinking skills. Would be an ideal book for teenagers to learn to not believe horse pucky when they hear it. And I'm having a great time reviewing it.
Fantastic.
So that'll be going eventually, hopefully this week, because I need to get something in this week. But that's the two that are closest. I'm also doing a father-son review of Peter Pan's new DVD, the 60th anniversary Blu-ray edition of Peter Pan from Disney. It was my son's favorite movie when he was 4, and now he's 22, so we're going to do a father-son review together.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Yeah, so that's what's on the burners right now.
The one other thing I was going to ask you, because you were, you know, one of the people that got some great inside on the Cardboard Arcade.
Oh, Kane's Arcade. Yeah, I haven't been there in a couple of months. He's about 6 miles from me. He's down in the Boyle Heights area, and I follow his Facebook feed, but I haven't seen anything from him lately. I should check in on him.
I love the fact that you were there and you went and you talked to his dad.
Oh yeah.
And right in the middle when all that blew up, and it's so cool to see that that he's gotten such a positive lift out of all that.
He's a really sweet kid, really nice.
That's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
And dad's a pretty cool guy too.
All right. Did I miss anybody? Anybody got anything left? Doesn't sound like it. All I've got going on, I'll be at Dad 2.0, as I said, this coming weekend or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which is a fantastic dad bloggers conference, and it'll be down in Houston. And then I'll be flying back, hopefully in time to watch our 49ers smash and crush those Ravens into dust.
That's football, right?
It's something like that.
Sports!
All I know is 49ers good, Ravens bad.
And Will Wheaton's going to be in a commercial.
And Will Wheaton's going to be in a freaking commercial during the Super Bowl. We are there to watch it. I also have to say, I would say one thing. This is self-promotion. I wrote a post this week that I really, really was very proud of. It did okay. It didn't do great. My 6 degrees of separation from Doctor Who post. I had this stupid idea just sitting in bed, you know, before going to sleep, fiddling around on my iPad, and I realized, hey, wait a minute. 6 degrees, it just seemed like a perfect kind of meme idea to come up with. And it was really bizarre, because when I went down and started looking at what the degrees of separation were, it's really not that far to get anybody to Doctor Who. So I think it just goes to show that Doctor Who is an intimate part of global entertainment.
Now I gotta go check that out.
Yeah, you didn't read that one? Basically, I first of all, my first thought was, okay, pick an actor who's famous, but you know, probably never did any science fiction whatsoever, and figure out their separation from any of the 11 doctors. I picked John Wayne.
Okay.
John Wayne is no more than 2 steps away from any of the 11 doctors.
Wow.
Blew my mind. Many of it going through Errol Flynn, a couple other people, but just fantastic. So then I went the opposite other direction. Pick a actor who has got a lot of geek cred, has been in a few things, but not super duper in terms of body of work. And I picked Will Wheaton, of course, our good friend Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton is no more than 3 steps, and in most cases, 2 steps away from Doctor Who. And I think this only proves that Doctor Who is everywhere, everywhere, and cannot be denied as, you know, the most important cultural touchstone of our existence.
I was going to say, it's got to be helped a lot by the fact that David Tennant was in a Harry Potter movie.
Oh.
Actually, no. Yeah. No. Yeah. Will's connection to David Tennant...
I mean, in general, that's got to help.
Well, probably for a lot of other connections, that would make sense. Interestingly, Will's connection to David Tennant is through Anton Yelchin.
Huh.
Okay. Because Will did voices on the Star Trek movie.
Okay.
Will did voice work.
Yeah, if you count voice work, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Well, and unfortunately, there's the one other step. I had to be slightly broad in this because, Doctor Who is a TV show.
Right.
And, you know, traditional 6 degrees of separation to Kevin Bacon just was movies.
This is true.
You had to be a little bit broader because Doctor Who is a TV show. But some of the connections were really, really interesting. I mean, one of Will's connections went through Claude Akins. And Jim is old enough to get that.
Oh, yeah.
Sheriff Lobo, man. All right.
Sheriff Lobo. Sheriff Lobo was a spinoff of BJ and the Bear.
Uh-huh.
Which would bring in Greg Evigan and...
Oh, yeah.
Tell me now I'm old.
I watched it, too.
I have a big number of 2, so I'll have to look this up.
Fantastic. All right. That's enough of that. Folks, thank you so much for being patient with us tonight. This has been the Geek Dads, episode number 128. I'm Ken Denmead, editor and publisher of GeekDad.com. Thank you, Matt Blum, as always.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been fun, despite all the technical snafus.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for hosting, as always.
I try to muddle through. We've only been doing this for 5 years. You'd think we'd get all these bugs figured out. Jonathan, thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I think I see some space on that bookshelf behind you. You obviously need more to review.
Oh, I put up two more bookshelves downstairs.
Fabulous.
You'll see those as soon as I'm losing my office to become a baby room. So, soon you will see the rest of my bookshelves.
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous. All right. Mr. Ryan Carlson, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Indeed, it was a pleasure.
I don't know, guys. I think he looks a little bit like Alan Tudyk, don't you?
There's a certain resemblance.
Yeah.
Give me some dinosaurs.
Fantastic. And Jim McQuarrie, thank you so much, sir, for joining us.
I very much enjoyed dominating the conversation and being a run at the mouth taking over.
That's our job. That's totally right. Our job. You're welcome back anytime.
All right.
All right, folks. I do not know yet whether we will have a Hip Tracks in 1 week. We are still trying to settle those things out and get back up and running in the new year. But nonetheless, we will have another Geek Dads podcast in 2 weeks. And until then, thank you so much. And have a good one, folks. So long.
Hasta la vista.
Geek Dad.